Thanks, Hubert. It's, of course, a great honor for us to host the Trade Statisticians meeting here in the WTO, where I believe right statistics are so much needed to understand world trade as it is today and as it will be tomorrow, to support progress in our negotiations the way around and to guide our negotiators. And while I was not able to open your meeting yesterday, as we were holding a trade negotiation committee with the whole of the membership, for me to report on the discussions we had last week in Davos, I'm more than pleased to address your meeting today at the outset of this discussion this afternoon on global manufacturing, or better said, global production of goods and services. My starting point is a very simple one. Today's planet of trade looks very different from when the first rules governing world trade were originally shaped after the Second World War and led to the creation of the then GATT, General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade. The old division of labor between nations has been radically changed by the recent wave of globalization. Global value chains, or international supply chains, are core to this development, and traditional boundaries or distances are disappearing. Some people even say that we all live now in the same village, or claim that our world is flat. Interconnectivity of production processes is predominant, and in this world, where national and conceptual boundaries are becoming blurred, the question of who produces what for whom and where is added value accruing are not easy to reply to with current statistics. The two individuals whom I hold mostly responsible for these new patterns are not yet, surprisingly, world celebrities whose name we all know. They are named Malcolm McLean and Vinton Cerf. Do you know Malcolm McLean and Vinton Cerf? Obviously not much. Well, Malcolm McLean is the guy who invented the container, which had the same impact on transport costs as switching from sail to steam. And Vinton Cerf is the guy who invented the internet, i.e. how to connect computers. So these two guys, which happen to be U.S. citizens, are the ones who, in my view, have really triggered this huge technological revolution, which leads to these new patterns of world trade. But we still number trade with instruments that date from before this revolution, from the mid-previous century. Merchandise trade statistics report trade flows at gross value when goods physically cross borders. The total value is registered by customs and enters in trade statistics, and in case of an import, is ascribed to the country of origin. But if you look at the national origin of the added value incorporated in the final product, we, of course, know that the significant shares of the value may come from other countries, sometimes even from the importing countries itself. And we all know this famous example of an iPod or iPad, which have been quoted often in the media, including by myself. So clearly, the words made in mean something different than what it meant a few decades ago. Our production processes are so globalized that a country's import tariffs could well penalize imports from one of its own global companies. Every iPod that the U.S. imports means an increase of $150 in China's recorded exports, though only about $4 to $5 of that value is actually added in China. Japan, who contributes about $400 to this value, gains far more from China's supposed expansion in exports. And it's not just electronics, automobiles, aircraft, even clothing are increasingly made in many countries. Thus, the concept of a country of origin is broken up. Supply chain boundaries, or better say, lack of boundaries, become more important. And even the traditional distinction between goods and services becomes a blur. My good friend Victor Fong, who now is the honorary chairman of the International Chamber of Commerce, likes to ask, and I use his words, in today's world of supply chains where conception, design, fabrication are sliced up across firms and borders, at what stage of the production process can we start calling a sweater, and no more a process? So the challenge for you statisticians is, in my view, to measure these phenomena in all their different dimensions: exchange of intermediate goods, manufacturing, services, logistics services, marketing, while, of course, keeping a view of their finality, which is the production and ultimate sale to some household somewhere of a sweater which has been made in the world. And getting these phenomena right in trade statistics is not only important for assessing the bilateral imbalances, if that matters, but also to analyze how trade impacts on employment, which I'm sure matters. Of course, new ways of measuring trade will not change the fact that China has a huge overall trade surplus, and U.S. a huge overall trade deficit. These are macroeconomic imbalances stemming from internal imbalances in savings and consumptions. But this new way of looking at things will help us framing in new way our trade issues, which are of a different nature. And to take my deputy, Alessandro Jara, analogy, we have to change our trade TV screen, black and white, to color. And as we all know, it does change the picture. Among comments received on a recent op-ed I wrote for the FT, one said, and I quote, that trade statistics, taking into account fragmentation and value chain production, are difficult, if not impossible, to compute. And he then continued, and I quote again, it is high time the WTO launched a comprehensive initiative to aid members in this effort, making their statistical systems progressively aware of fragmentation. So that's the starting point. That's the politics of it. And I think it really matters for trade policies to be looked at by trade policy wonks, by trade negotiators, but also by public opinion in the real world of today and not in the world of yesterday. And as you can see, this meeting and its composition, the UN Statistical Division, Eurostat's initiative to organize a global forum on trade statistics could probably not be more timely. And I'm glad that us in the WTO and UNCTAD have teamed up to host this meeting here. Interagency activities in statistics are decisive to govern the process of developing appropriate guidance for the implementation of new recommendations in trade statistics, as well as for developing a vision of how these trade statistics and their tools should be adapted to changing technological and economic environments. So these are a few of the reasons why I very much look forward to your ideas, to your suggestions. Of course, our intention is to move this issue forward, but your discussions will inform us on how to do this the best way possible, which is why I wish this meeting every success in carrying out your work, and I didn't even have to face the yellow card. Thank you.